Welcome to the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, John Zombro. I'm an author, a physical therapist, board certified in orthopedics, a peak performance coach, and a strength and conditioning specialist. My mission with this show and in life in general is to help you to crush your goals, to get and stay hard to kill, and to become and remain an athlete for life. Maximizing potential. That's what it's all about. Thank you so much for being with me here today. And today is episode number 148. I want to be talking today, or I'm going to be talking today, about the CRS, or the Capacity Rating System, which is a method that I've developed to help you score your fitness. Thus, the title of today's show, Scoring Your Fitness, or Conditioning Level, if you want to use that term. Several weeks ago on the show, I spoke about the athletic assessment, which is a very general tool that I often use to help a person kind of double check their physical functionality. So that goes through looking at the developmental sequence and basic proficiency with the common movement patterns, the big seven that we use, and also some specific athletic skills, with the main idea in that athletic assessment to ask ourselves, well, can I do this with moderate proficiency and without pain? So that's important to know that the beast is indeed functioning. But then when we move forward and we start thinking about, well, okay, how can I potentially quantify my conditioning or my fitness? And all that's based around what are the five capacities of human performance. And so I'm going to talk about that and kind of help you cruise through the CRS today and possibly get a feel for how you might understand how your body is functioning and also use that to adjust and optimize your training. So how this came about was I wanted a simple way to evaluate how each of us stacks up in those five capacities of human performance. And those things are strength, speed, power, agility, and endurance. I can use the CRS, or my clients can do that, to get more results from their training right away. The CRS can help us to identify assets and liabilities across the performance spectrum. So you could say strengths and weaknesses. Because I use strength as one of the capacities of human performance, I say assets, so it's not confusing, but they are a bit interchangeable. Having this kind of knowledge about yourself will then enable you to hone or polish those assets, and you can maximize how your body functions in your sport and really utilize your gifts to the greatest degree. On the other hand, you'll be able to shore up your weaknesses to keep them from detracting from your athletic performance or long-term health. So basically, being able to train more effectively and to become and remain a well-rounded or complete, and shall we say, athletic athlete for life. That's really one thing that this CRS helps us to do, because it can define what we're going after in our programming. So just to touch again on those five major capacities, we have strength, we have speed, we have power, we have agility, and we have endurance. And so those things are relatively well agreed upon in the scientific community, and they do define how a human can perform and function really in any capacity, but particularly in the athletic mode. All of these capacities are vitally important in every athletic human beast, although to varying degrees, depending upon sport, position, goals, body type, age, and other factors. So we can further illustrate these capacities by providing some very simple definitions. Strength is maximum force. It's the max force that you can generate, and it's most usually measured by a 1 RM or 1 repetition maximum lift or test, although there are ways to extrapolate it out from more numbers of reps. Speed is max velocity. So it's basically how fast can your body move. And we most often think of that in sprinting, particularly in the very short sprints, 10, 20, 30 yards or meters, 40-yard dash, 100 meters. Those are pure speed applications. Relative speed, we start to blend in other capacities when we look at how fast you can go over a given distance, such as, let's say, a 40-kilometer bicycle time trial. Power. Power is really simply going to the physics definition of force times distance divided by time. So it's almost the combination of strength and speed together. And it has a bit of a split personality because we look at anaerobic power as that ability to, you know, push, drag, lift, pull, carry heavy things as explosively as possible. And then we have aerobic power, which is really related to our maximal oxygen uptake or VO2 max. And that's sometimes quantified by a 5 to 7 minute run, or even you can just say a mile run for most people. Agility. Agility is a complex combination of mobility. We need to have flexibility and range of motion as far as how we move our bodies. Stability, to be able to have that structural integrity when it's indicated. Reactivity, responding to the environment that we're in. And fluidity, to execute movement with supple, graceful, artistic outcomes or expressions. So all of those things together represent agility, and that defines how an athlete should and could move. And then lastly, but not necessarily of any less importance, we have endurance, and that's fatigue resistance. Also having that bipolar nature like power did, because we have fatigue resistance in terms of muscular endurance, and that's, you know, how many reps can you do, reps to failure, let's say with a submax weight. And then you have cardiorespiratory endurance, which is that efficiency of the that system to deliver oxygen to the muscles and then have that be utilized. And so that's more of your kind of cardio mojo, if you will. So all of those things together, strength, speed, power, agility, endurance, make up the capacities that we have existing in a human, in an athlete. And it's important for every athlete to have a reasonable amount of proficiency in each capacity, and certainly a high ability in one or several categories of specialization. And a lot of this is determined by genetics or by lifestyle. In other words, you're naturally going to be gifted at some things. And then also, if you tend to do something for a very long time, you become highly skilled at it. And so that's why we'll see some of these categories being very high in one individual and less so in another. So that specific mix, though, of these desirable traits, it'll vary quite a bit among each of us, and it can even change over time within the same individual. So if you'd like to dive a bit deeper into kind of how that topic works, you can check out my video on the Lifetime Athlete YouTube channel entitled Identifying and Leveraging Your Assets and Liabilities in Training. But specifically today, we're talking about scoring your fitness using the CRS, or Capacity Rating System. So here's how the CRS works. Regarding each of those five capacities, you simply and honestly ask yourself the following question. How is my performance in this category? You know, what's my ability? What's my capability in these five capacities? And I'm going to give you some specific examples as we go along. But if your performance is high, and you would rate it to be, you know, you'd rate yourself as good to excellent in something, give yourself a score of 3. If your performance is generally moderate, and you'd probably describe your ability in one of those five capacities as fair, decent, average, that those sorts of terms, rank that capacity as a 2. And if you feel that your capabilities are a bit low, there's room for improvement, you might even give yourself a rating of being somewhat poor or deficient in a category. And that's okay. That's not a character flaw. We're just talking about physical capacities here. Give yourself a 1. So my first thing to say when we're doing this is to be kind to yourself. There's no need to be self-defeating and turn this into a depressing issue. It's really a learning opportunity, and all these things can be addressed and improved with appropriate training. But also, it's important to be objective. We need to be realistic and not delusional about our abilities. And so I like to say this is a right now rating. It's not a reflection of where you were 20 years ago or what your best levels ever were. It's really how you are right now, because that's how we can use this to adjust training most effectively. high proficiency in any of those capacities means that the parameters of what we're talking about, say it's strength or speed or something like that, comes easy for you. And you generally will outperform most of your peers in that category. Moderate level as opposed to high would suggest that, you're reasonably sufficient. You're kind of in the middle of the pack in that area. And then low indicates that you probably, have that room for improvement. And there may be some specific reasons why that is low, whether that's due to, habits or not practicing, possibly injuries or genetics. But again, these things are addressable. How we're going to go through talking about the CRS is I'm going to give you just some basic examples to help you with this. And, obviously it's much more important to compare yourself to yourself than it is to compare yourself across the whole population, because it's very difficult to establish norms. Let's say looking at a 17-year-old female athlete in soccer with an 80-year-old male athlete in golf. Not easy to do, not fair. And so the closer you get when you're looking at a peer group, if you're looking at same age, same sport, same position, sure, we can establish things in terms of strength, speed, power, agility, and endurance that we want those athletes to have. But in a more broad sense, we're just saying, hey, is it good, moderate, or low, or high, moderate, or low? And that's really all we need to do. So now with strength, you have high strength if you're the person that everybody calls when they need to move a safe, a file cabinet, or a refrigerator. I mean, that's really, if you go through life, you think about that and who are the people that get relied upon, strength is going to be a 3 for those individuals. And you can start to look at other things too. But basically, if you're a really strong person, you know that. Now, if you're somewhat strong for your size or age, and you can, do everything that life demands of you and possibly shine a bit here and there, probably that's a 2. And then also if you notice, gosh, you struggle to do, many common things and lifting and carrying, and you have to ask for help a lot, that's an example of where maybe strength isn't as high as it could be. Looking at speed. Now, speed is an interesting thing because it's probably the thing that goes away the most eventually in most people, because it doesn't get trained through the lifespan. And so we want to know that we need to be safe about it, but we can train our speed. But obviously, when it's time to turn on the jets, let's say, any type of game or competition situation, if you're the person that, everybody recognizes, they're fast, they're really quick, and you know that about yourself, you kind of rely on that, it's a go-to of yours. Okay, that's a 3 for speed. Again, if you're decent and all around in your speed, you're going to be able to be a quick mover here and there, that's a 2. And then if you're dreading the thought of accelerating and you just seem to be stuck in low gear constantly, that would be a 1. Now power is an interesting situation because it allows a person to combine their strength and speed. So you can be very high or moderately high in one of those things, and that can help you to actually be very high in power as well. So it's really interesting. If we have a person with decent strength and speed, they're probably going to be able to generate good power. How you know that is, when things require a really high output that has some amount of sustenance to it. So it's not instantaneous, one and done. Like a strength is a 1 rep lift or a speed is a 1-time sprint. Well, this might be, power might be represented in the ability to do that a few times repeated, or again, stretch that out over a bit more distance and time. So things like pushing, dragging, pulling, in training applications, using a wheelbarrow in your yard, you know, that when you're doing yard work or landscaping or something. You know, all of those things really relate to power. So again, if you tend to shine, that's really a 3. If you get by, it's a 2. And if you struggle, it's a 1. Now, let's look at agility very briefly. Agility is really one of those things that defines the athletic beast. And we know when we watch an agile mover, what the onlooker tends to say is this, and it's indeed beautiful. When we watch somebody who's lacking in agility and watch them move, oftentimes the result or the response from the onlooker is, you know, and unfortunately that's the case. Again, it's trainable, but agility is a unique thing because a lot of people in the fitness side of things will sometimes think you're good enough if you're just doing your mobility work, you're stretching, you're doing some yoga and whatnot. That creates the freedom to move through range, but the artistic ability involves those other things we talked about, like reactivity and spontaneous or intermittent stability. So we want to think about that. So if you're an agile mover, that means that you're that person who owns shape and position of the body, no matter where you put it. You control those positions. They don't control you. And so you can execute moving in any direction, very cat-like, shall we say. Cat-like agility, that's a very good term. And so that person would be a 3. Many of us, we're going to have some abilities to move and cut and jump and land and move laterally and diagonally and up and down and maybe tumble. But there might be a few deficiencies that we expose when we're testing that. And so that's probably a 2. And then if we struggle, fear, loathe, anything, and we, are a person that maybe in an athletic realm is only good at moving in a straight line or working in the sagittal plane with lifts, that's probably more of a 1. And also in life, excuse me, if you take a trip and it's going to turn into a dive, so I'm not talking about a long-distance vacation, I'm talking about you stumble and you trip and you're diving, well, the agile person has that ability to either catch and right themselves or to go with it and roll out of it safely, not slamming down and breaking things, which, we want to avoid that particularly at any time in life, but it's very critical as we get older that becomes... that we have enough agility to preserve our being. And then lastly, we've got endurance. And so endurance, on the most basic level is, do you have enough endurance to get through the day? Are you exhausted at the end of the day, or are you reasonably energized? So we always want to ask that question. But then also, do you have enough endurance to train the way you want to train? Do you have the endurance or the stamina to do the workouts you want on the playing field? Are you good all the way through, or do you die in the latter parts of a competition? We want to ask those things. And if your answer is, yeah, man, I've got great endurance, and I also, have some amount of ability to go for some distance or time. Yeah. Okay. That's a 3. A 2, again, somewhere in the middle, getting the job done, doing okay, maybe not outstanding. And then a 1 would be, you lack the endurance to do all those things, get through the day, train as much as you want, compete, strongly through any competition. So now we have these scores, and what would happen is if we had a perfect score, I'm going to mention that in a second, it would total 15. So that would be 5 times 3. First thing I'm going to say is that is probably almost impossible and certainly unrealistic for most folks. And the reason is that some of these capacities will work against each other slightly. So as you go higher, for example, in strength, your endurance may go down a bit, you could say that's even true to some extent with speed, but, and we can bounce around. There's other examples. So really what we see among the most elite of athletes is that they'll score on this test a 13 or a 14. And that's really outstanding. But for most of us, 11 or 12 is a great score. And it's really important that we get that score in the way I'm about to describe. So if you want to do the simple math, getting an 11 by having four twos and one three in your score, but no ones, that's great. That's a lifetime athlete, because what that tells us is, okay, you've got fairly good, complete, well-rounded athletic athleticism. You've got an area that you're shining in, which is probably a gift. And you don't have any ones, which over time, if left there long enough, can rear up and bite your beast in the buttock in terms of both performance and certainly health. So if I was going to provide some examples here, I'll give my own, and I'm not ashamed or embarrassed about that. So I'd say, okay, on strength, I'm a two. I'm fairly strong for my size, but I'm not really a strong man, and anyone who knows me would agree with that. Speed, I work on my speed, and it's pretty decent. I almost would make a three, but not quite. I'm more quick than truly fast, so I get a two there. But then when those things get together and it's time for the power output, so whether, you know, it's we're, for whatever reason, we're running the mile, or we're pushing or dragging, or it's a work situation, a labor situation, I'll do well there. You know, I certainly won't make too much macho talk, so like nobody can stay with me, because that's not true. It's never true. You talk like that, you're going to get shot down. But yeah, my power is a three. So I'm two on strength, two on speed, three on power. And I'm a two on agility. Another thing that I've always had some of, and I'm starting to become more aware, I've got to work on it more as 60 is on the horizon for me. Got some issues that with my left hip, among other things, that I'm not quite as agile as I want to be and can be, and so I'm going to work on that, but I'm decent, so that's a two. And then lastly, my endurance is a two. If I trained it more, it probably could be a three just based on genetics, but the amount of that I, endurance type training that I do allows me to say I'm a good strong two, if not fully a three. So that gives me, a score of 11, and I'm okay with that for now. Again, I'd mentioned I want to work on a few things there, but I feel like this gives me that ability to wake up every day and say, whatever I need to do, I can probably do it, and I'm not going to be totally destroyed by that. And that's really one of the things we're looking for. Okay, so now as you go through your own capacity rating journey, just ask yourself the questions that I demonstrated, and you don't really have to do the tests if you have a lifetime of experience working with your lifetime athlete body. But, think about, what are your 1RM totals in the basic lifts if you do those things like squat, bench, or deadlift? If not, do you get called to lift that refrigerator or file cabinet or safe? Look at speed as a 40-yard dash, but that also, let's say if you do a lot of cycling and or skiing or something like that, Nordic skiing, and there's the time for the sprint and you're always the person that everyone fears, you know what I'm saying there. Power, that might be a 30-yard heavy sled push or that mid-distance run. Agility, look at anything that's elastic and gymnastic that includes direction change and those graceful fluid movements. And just really be honest in assessing how you might perform. Lastly, with endurance, look at your ability to keep going. Was it the Ever Ready or the Energizer Bunny? But that bunny. And if you are, and the longer things seem to drag on, the more everyone falls away and you're left there. That's what we're looking for there. So again, that goal with your score is to get an 11 or 12. That's all we're shooting for. And once you do that, here's where the power comes in. You can then say, well, okay, if I know what my numbers are, if I have any ones, I probably want to think about at least shoring them up. And maybe I'll say something related to this. When you're very young and very motivated and very specialized, and maybe you have a couple threes that you're really riding to victory, you can probably get away with having some wants. And so some examples might be if a person who is, let's say, a power lifter, not having a lot of agility or endurance, you know, honestly, that's okay for the short term. But over the long term, the human body tends to like to have this balance. You know, same could be said for the endurance athlete not having super high levels of agility or strength, for example. But anyway, you get the picture. But ultimately, we're thinking, okay, let's get the 11 or 12. Let's eliminate the ones. Now, you look at your training. And so those five types of training, or excuse me, five capacities, strength, speed, power, agility, and endurance, also have five kinds of training that bring them out. And so strength and muscular hypertrophy, bone density, all those things relate best to resistance training. So that's, you know, weights or machines, body weight in some instances. That's the kind of training that brings about the strength. Speed, maximum velocity with extended rest training, invert, I'll call that sometimes, basically it's sprinting. And so we have to earn the right to train, of course. So if it's not appropriate for one to do, we have to, you know, build you up and work up to the point where you can do this to then preserve some of that neuromuscular and fast twitch fiber function. Power, largely done through high intensity intervals or repetition type training, and that whether that be with weights or implements or in locomotive capacities, that's how we build power. Agility, you do what I'm now calling dynamic movement training, because it is that. It involves all those things of mobility, stability, reactivity, and fluidity. And so we want to put that together. And those are the certainly, yes, the stretching and the dynamic warm-up types of things that we do, but also all those directional things and balance. And so I think that's the fun stuff in a lot of workouts, actually. And then lastly, with endurance, now you can develop endurance overall just by doing, you know, volumes of work, physical work, or even, you know, training, but most predominantly that's going to be through the LIST, or low intensity steady state training, oftentimes called here low slow cardio mojo. So what I like to do with folks that I'm working with is I'm gonna say, okay, look, let's figure out how you scored, and first of all, then, well, what are your goals? So what sport are you into or activity, and what would be its requirements, and then also how's your body match up? And so then we can say, now, even though we know what we want to do for that sport, we want to slightly leverage or bias so that you do a little more in an area where either you want to put polish on, or, you know, it's holding you back and dragging you down, and we're going to bring that up a little bit. So all of this is about taking that concept of complete and individualized athleticism a bit further. I have to say, I almost don't care how an athlete actually trains, you know, even though that's my business. What matters most is that you have great function, or at least good function, in all of these capacities, regardless of how you get there, because they don't give out awards for, oh, you know, you did all the workouts, or here's a plaque, or maybe you can get that somewhere. But in reality, we just want you to have these abilities. That's what I want for you. So keep in mind, there's no one set recipe. It never should be, and run from anyone who says that there is. Approaches to training are infinite. And many forms of exercise have scientifically proven that they have these primary and secondary benefits. They have some crossover effects. So as long as you're training, and I say this respectfully, somewhat intelligently, and just double checking, making sure your body's getting what it needs, do what you like, do what you love. Again, just make sure that it's working. Well, I think that was a lot on the capacity rating system. If you'd like to read about the CRS instead of hearing me get so animated and ramble, you can check out an article on the capacity rating system. It's on the blog under media at thelifetimeathlete.com, or you can search from any page in the search bar and just type those keywords in, and you'll find it. It also includes a table that you can cut or copy and paste to score your yourself, and come back to that from time to time if you'd like. So I thank you so much for your time today. You're awesome for being with me as a lifetime athlete. We're all in this together. Until next time, this is Coach Jay-Z signing off from the Lifetime Athlete, where you can become and stay hard to kill.